Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MLS UK show. I'm Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by
Elliot Holman.
So, Elliot, we've not been here for 2 weeks, and I feel we know the listeners well enough to be able to explain why. We have both in our separate work lives been extremely busy the last few weeks. Poppy's been in hospital for an operation. She's doing fine. So we do apologise that it's taken so long to do an episode, but it's given us a chance to reflect on the opening weeks of MLS, hasn't it?
Yeah, there was no kit review of the hospital gown, I noticed.
Having had a baby and now this, I have seen, I've been behind Poppy making sure that the gown isn't opening up at the back enough. I feel like, do you know when the Oscars red carpet where you've got the woman who is the main star and you've got the guy who's just some
sticking. It's the equivalent of your mum when she's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just that person. So, managed to keep her modesty. But she's doing fine. So, that now means though that we are back. We're doing an MLS UK show to reflect on the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. I've got to say as well, and some people, especially Orlando fans, may be like, oh, this is a coincidence. You're doing an episode again after Atlanta have just beaten Orlando. It's not the case. We will talk about that later on. However, when I texted you before today's episode saying what you want to discuss, you came straight back. One thing, LA Galaxy. So, Elliot, fire away.
Ah, yeah. So this is good. I like, I'm in an era of really, really appreciating MLS. A, the fact that it's back. B, second season of Apple TV Plus, the season pass for MLS. Like, it's heaven sent if you're in the UK and you're used to having to find a stream of a game, really difficult, or wait for Sky to show one. I decided to do something a bit different this weekend, and I was glad I did when I ended up missing the Atlanta-Orlando game. I decided I'd go to bed and then get up and watch some Western Conference games, because in the UK, it's really tough. You sort of start at 7 p.m. with the early kickoff, and then the 9 p.m., and then there's one at midnight, and then after that, you're like really struggling. And so you don't ever watch your RSLs or your LA Galaxies. And so I decided I'd watch the Galaxy, and what a fantastic game. It was so good. It was such a good game. I've even bored my wife, Bryony, with how good that game was. She doesn't care. She barely cares about Orlando. And it was all about that new right winger, Paintsill, for LA Galaxy. What a phenomenal performance. Like, if they can get the ball to him, and I'm looking at Ricky Puig to do so regularly and get him in behind the left back or the center back. Like, the man's dangerous. He's got pace to burn. It looked like a real moment for LA Galaxy fans who would have been watching going, okay. This is how we make playoffs. This is how we get in the conversation for Supporters Shield. Felt like a big moment. And also, like, you know, credit to both sides. It was a really good end-to-end game in the end.
Yeah, of course, you're talking about the 3-3 draw against St. Louis. I bet you're glad you didn't watch Houston 1, Portland 0, and chose the LA Galaxy one. But you're right about Paintsill. I'm quite... I saw clip bits of him against San Jose, and he was doing exactly what you said, getting in behind the left back. And, you know, he looks like a real, when you've got Ricky Pooge in the midfield, and I know Ricky Pooge, you know, didn't quite have his best game for them on Saturday. But when you've got him in the midfield and the way Jovetic is playing as well, he kind of is that sort of person in between, isn't he? He's making things happen. He's coming in from the right-hand side, and he's been so impressive so far. And yeah, I've got to say, I like what LA Galaxy are doing. This is a season where they really need to get back to what we know years ago from Galaxy after a few years of real disappointment for them. And I think when letting the likes of Douglas Costa go and Chicharito, you know, they've brought in a freshness, you can really sense that, and there's a bit of more energy to the team, and they're going around things a bit differently. And it's good to see. They find themselves fourth at the moment, 6 points from 4 games, unbeaten. Galaxy fans must be quite happy at the moment.
You know you're going to get 10, 12, 15, 20 maybe with Paintsill. Like, you know you're going to get those goals hopefully as well. So they seem like they could be in really good shape. You know, experience with Yoshida, looking solid at the back. I think I'm intrigued. Maybe I'll watch them again this weekend. Who knows? Oh, well, saying that, we've got plans this weekend, haven't we?
We have. It's my son's christening. So, you'll get back for MLS. It's,
who chooses a Saturday night for... Oh, hey, calls himself an MLS fan.
We're having a party. But yeah,
got married during the Euros as well. Is this guy taking the mic?
I know, yeah. I am going to see if we can get a big screen put up for MLS, but I don't think we'll be able to, unfortunately. There is hope, and we'll let you know when we next record whether that was going to happen. So Galaxy are doing well. Just a quick note on LAFC, because they've been linked this week, apparently in advanced talks with Olivier Giroud. He will join Hugo Lloris, the sort of French connection that LAFC are having at the moment. What do you make of this? Because Giroud has shown in recent years he's still got it. He's been in Serie A as well as the Premier League. So I think this would be a great signing for LAFC.
I couldn't agree more. Talk of Griezmann as well. Obviously sits a lot deeper these days, but still a phenomenal player. I think with Giroud, a bit of a North London connection with Lloris as well. I think for me, on paper, you're getting a better striker than somebody like a Suarez in MLS. You don't need to compare careers. I think in MLS right now, I think probably the one I choose over a Suarez. And I think could be really, really dangerous, actually.
Yeah, well, LAFC have had a quiet start to the season. So, him and Bwanga up front, I don't know whether this is going to be someone who can kind of replace Bwanga if he's off, even though Bwanga has signed a new contract. But him and Bwanga up front would be a great partnership. LAFC just need that at the moment. I know they've got other things going on currently, but, to start the season off with 4 points from 4 games, they'll be very disappointed with that. There's been quite a few teams that have had slow starts to the season you'd expect better from. Obviously Orlando, but we'll discuss them in a moment. But when you look at the table, you look at Seattle are currently 2 points, second bottom of the West. You've got Philadelphia, who are in 13th place in the East. And then you look at New England at the bottom, 4 games, 4 defeats. San Jose have got a similar record, but I wouldn't quite put San Jose in the same surprising bracket as New England. What is happening? We'll deal with the other clubs in a moment, but what is happening at New England? They've had a terrible start.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Sunday evening, at a really UK-friendly time, Cincinnati took on New England Revolution, and both sides were used to, you know, being the informed teams that score a lot of goals from last season. And to be honest, Cincinnati having a much better season so far, but still, if you've watched Cincinnati, I feel like you'll see what I mean. They haven't got going yet. They're not moving for me. And New England, you know, it was a bizarre game. It really lacked, you know, the edge. It was all the Cincinnati defense and goalkeeper kind of keeping them in it, and then Rev's just not really been able to finish it off. it really surprised me. It's bizarre seeing these two teams kind of struggle. Cincinnati struggling with a real, they used to be so free flowing. Nothing really, it wasn't like they'd get the ball, then try and work out what they're going to do. It used to be so free flowing and so attacking, one touch, two touch flicks. Acosta's on it still. Acosta's the man, but he's kind of looking around going, guys, what are you doing? And he didn't start the game at the weekend either. So that gave New England a chance, but still couldn't get the job done in the bottom of the league. That's a shock. It is a shock.
Yeah, it was such an insane start to the second half because Acosta came on at halftime, a double substitution. Then they scored after 20 seconds, which was ruled out because of an offside that was like, so far, the passage of play had carried on. I forgot about it. Then they scored two goals. One of them where, I mean, Danny Higginbottom said it was miles over the line. It wasn't miles over the line. I'm still trying to convince myself it was over the line. So that goal was given. And then...
How do they not have goal line technology in MLS still? I don't get it.
They don't have referees at the moment, Elliot. I think we should deal with that first. But it was just an insane game. And then you're right, at the end, New England should have really got the equaliser and Cincinnati held on. But I mean, to look at Cincinnati, for you to say there that they've not quite clicked, and you're right, they're still averaging 2 points a game. They're still in third spot in the East. I mean, that's, there's a team who are not performing yet are in that position, that shows how good they are. So I can't wait to see when they're actually firing on all cylinders. But I guess for New England, we're just waiting for them to fire at all at something, because, you know, for them, four games already and four defeats is just for Caleb Porter as well. And we were kind of looking at New England and saying, well, with Caleb Porter, he could actually be that team that breaks away, wins Supporters Shield, or maybe gets in the playoffs and wins MLS Cup. He's done it before. And I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty certain that there's not a team that's lost the first four games that have done either of those. So poor from New England Revolution.
What we do know is it's very easy to have a slow start. Unfortunately, Orlando are the example. And fortunately for me, did turn it around last year. Like they hit an insane run of form towards the end of the season and finished really, really high up, but it was such a slow start. Is that CONCACAF? That's over now. You know, that's the only excuse that I think we can make. They're one of the teams that's traveled the least so far. There's very few excuses. My concern is Pareja struggles to kind of get them going at the start of the season. And luckily they finished strong and he got a new contract, but the same thing's happening again. So I'm intrigued this weekend, next weekend. Can we get the season underway? Because defeat to Atlanta is something that I got far too used to in the early years. And then there was a period where I was like, oh, okay, no, we're the better team. But Atlanta put us to the sword at the weekend.
Yeah, it did remind me that early years of Atlanta-Orlando, where Atlanta were just so dominant, and especially in the first half, they were, you know, Orlando had a few chances, Miguel had a shot, which, it hit the bar, and Guzan, they give a corner. I think Guzan realised that would have been an incredible save if he'd actually touched it, so I think he just went along with it, just to put in his highlight reel. But overall, Atlanta were fast-paced, they were going at it, they were just like we used to see with them, and in Giakoumakis, and their other sort of front line, if you include the midfield, it's very exciting times at the moment. Giakoumakis scored and now is the second highest scorer in Atlanta's history, in just 1.5 seasons, which, Atlanta have only been a team for, 5 years now, so it's not surprising, but that shows really how good he's been.
Yeah, and do you know what? I was harsh on him last season because whenever I watched him, he had such a terrible game. I stand by that. Like, it's true. It doesn't mean he isn't a good player. It's just, you know, that's the situation. I kind of watched with excitement. You know, we joke about the rivalry between Orlando and Atlanta, but ultimately I love MLS. I love this league. So I was intrigued by all of the noise. And it happened that whenever I watched him, he didn't have a great game, but certainly a fantastic start. Certainly proved me wrong. I know from watching Orlando the previous week at home against Minnesota, could have won it 6-0. Not an exaggeration. Just could not score. So you kind of feel like, okay, the chances are there. So it's not panic stations just yet, but yeah, not a fantastic start again.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by Orlando's start, actually. But we talked about Giakoumakis, someone else who scored 4 goals. Lee is joint with him at the top of the goal standings. You mentioned him before, Luis Suarez. You said that you would rather have Giroud at the moment than Suarez. Have you been surprised by how he's took to MLS? Because there's a part of me that actually has. I'm surprised he's played so much.
Yeah, maybe surprised at the minutes. But Suarez is pure class, pure quality. He's shown that over a number of years. That's the only downside. He's shown it over a number of years. Like, he's getting on. He's hugely experienced. Am I surprised that Suarez and Messi is working out for Miami? No. But I am intrigued to see as we get deeper in the season, you know, those random Tuesday, Wednesday games, they qualify for this, they qualify for that. They're going to have a busy schedule playing on plastic pitches. You know, that's going to be the real test for Miami when they have to rest those players, when they're not available, when they don't want to play on artificial grass. How are they going to come through? So it's far too early to, it's not far too early to give them credit for the way that they've started, but it's far too early to say, oh, they're going to run away with it just because they're top of the league currently.
Yeah, well, they're doing very well. Level with Columbus, who I want to talk to about in a second. But just what you said there about Miami is, you know, it seems that, and he showed it on Saturday, it seems that they might not play Messi and Suarez every game, but they'll probably have at least one of them on the bench who can come off and be the player that saves them. Suarez was that guy on Saturday. And yeah, I've got to admit, I'm not entirely surprised because Suarez is an incredible player. Where I did question whether his attitude would be there to play in MLS. It has been. And actually, for me, he's outshone Messi at the moment. Suarez is incredible. Whereas Messi, we used to what he's doing, and we saw a glimpse of it last year. I've just been so impressed with Suarez that for me, he's been their best player. And of course, he showed it in the game a few weeks ago when Miami smashed Orlando, which we've also not mentioned.
No, we haven't mentioned it because I didn't watch it. I was otherwise engaged.
I was texting you, though. I was keeping you updated.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate. I was, if you're in the UK, you'll know, I was at the Brit Awards at the O2 in London. And I'd always wanted to go. Me and Henry had worked together on the Brits a few times. And like we'd gone to London and we had like red carpet one year, but never just in the O2 arena, like watching the show. So I sat there and I was so excited and Dua Lipa opened the show and Green Day walked out as a surprise. Like I was absolutely buzzing. Like it was so good. Saw Calvin Harris perform and then my watch kept going off and it was like goal notifications, every single goal going in against Orlando. And I was like, oh, I just wanted to, like, we had a babysitter, we had a hotel. I was thinking this is going to be such a great night. Obviously, Orlando managed to ruin that for me.
Yeah, well, we'll move on then. We'll stop you reminiscing about that night because I'm sure the Brits were great, but for me, who was sat on the couch watching that game, it was a mad game, but it was very entertaining. Let's talk about Columbus then. They've had a great start. They carried on from last season. They are finding themselves at the moment at level with Miami at the top of the East. And played a game less as well, so their points per game is slightly higher than Miami's. You talk about other clubs at Cincinnati who haven't quite got going yet. You can't say that about Columbus, can you?
No, picked up where they left off. Phenomenal last year, great to watch. One of the best attacking sides I've ever seen in MLS. I think that's what we were talking about with Cincinnati, just so smooth. Columbus so smooth on the ball, like so free flowing. It's one touch. That's exactly how they want to play. To be honest with you, like MLS has always been that league where sometimes a team does really well and then the next year struggles a little bit, or someone's got a phenomenal couple of draft picks that mixes things up. It's not really the case as much these days, so I'm less surprised that Columbus have just hit the ground running and picked up where they left off. They're so good to watch, and Cucho, just one of my favorite MLS players ever. The guy's a powerhouse. I love him.
Yeah, he's got himself 3 goals at the moment, and he scored on Saturday as well as they brushed aside Red Bulls and Columbus. And this is it, the way they've started. If they continue, we could have, for a few years, we had kind of a few battles of who, you know, and where teams were getting record points totals, and Atlanta and Red Bulls did it 1 year where it was neck and neck. We could have about 2 or 3 teams doing that this year. There's so much potential in that. You know, you've got the reigning MLS Cup holders, you've got Miami with what they're doing. And I guess if we're mentioning teams on 10 points, we also have to mention Minnesota, who, incredibly, not having a head coach for the first game, and then it took a while for him to come in, he's at his first game now, and they beat LAFC at home. What a start they've had.
Yeah, I've written in my notes that we must talk about Minnesota, and there's a couple of reasons. First of all, what a fantastic game I saw them taking on Orlando, where there was 2 goals within the first 5 minutes. And second of all, we sat here on the first podcast and we said we'll probably have to apologize for a lot of these predictions. Minnesota, and we'll come on to another team next as well who I've highlighted, who I need to apologize to, and you probably know who it is. I thought hadn't really done a lot transfer wise. There's a lot of talk about them losing a couple of players as well. I was disappointed because one of my Norwich City heroes, Timo Pukki, had gone, and I felt like, is he going to thrive there? No coach, going to be a bad start to the season. They're literally top of the league, certainly top of the West. So fair play. And I hope they can keep up. That's the sort of team, that's what you like. You like seeing a Vancouver doing well. You like seeing a Minnesota do well. And then next year, you know, one of the teams that's maybe struggling, we talked about New England Revolution. If they're going to have a poor season, let's hope they're then back next year. This is what makes MLS so exciting. Do you think you know the other team that deserve a little bit of an apology?
Have you just mentioned them?
I haven't.
Oh, right, because mine was going to be Vancouver. But is yours then Toronto?
Toronto, the Canadian clubs, Montreal, Vancouver.
Doing well, yeah.
Yeah, Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, all flying. And Toronto, especially, Toronto aren't doing it necessarily better or worse than those other, the other two sides, but they deserve a mention because no one really saw this coming. It's like they don't concede goals. They look like a completely different side, even though they aren't. It's Insigne has kind of done what we finally, you know, expected him to do last year. It's all coming together. Maybe it just needed time. Who knows? But fair play to Toronto, because it seems like they've made a really, really strong start to the season and turned it around. This will come back to haunt me as well. I still have question marks over Bernardeschi, I'll be honest. I don't watch him and think, wow, like, there's a player that arrived with a big fanfare and completely justifies it. And this it was really hammered home to me when I'd watched quite a lot of Toronto in the opening weeks, and he suddenly got praised for tracking back. Now, this is like the guy who's playing right wing, and it's like, oh, he's tracked back really well then. I'm like, yeah. And I haven't seen him do anything going forward yet. So maybe that is the secret. Like, they're focusing a little less on just all-out attack, getting the ball to Insigne, getting the ball to Bernardeschi. But I want more from him, I'll be honest. He's not been terrible, but he's not been at the level, you know, the level that we expected so far. Whereas Insigne, doing the business so far.
Yeah, well, Insigne has actually come out and said that he's talking to John Herdman now at the moment more than his wife. And that's how, yeah. You know, we said before the season, I think we said in our preview, we said that you know, this John Herdman has got a big job on his hands coming in from the Canadian national team, and he'd give up that job to go to Toronto, and he's got to deal with these big players, these big egos. And for Insigne to come out and say that shows that he's actually doing it. You know, he's obviously worked with the likes of Alphonso Davies before, and, you know, who plays for a big team, who will have that sort of ego about him and presence about him, and he's dealt with him. So he's showing that now with Insigne. Bernadeschi, I don't know whether Bernadeschi kind of, his problem is that he's in Insigne's shadow. You know, I think when he first came to MLS with Toronto, he was doing so well, and then he kind of drifted away, and we've not really heard much from him in the last probably 18 months, or just over a year especially. So maybe that if he played for a different team, we'd perhaps notice him a bit more. But at the moment, yeah, Insigne is outshining him. And he clearly has that relationship with the head coach, so maybe he can bring that to Bernadeschi now. But I've got to say, Toronto will be so disappointed. I've gone 1-0 up at New York City FC on Saturday. They'll be so disappointed to lose that, the first defeat of the season, because after 5 minutes or whatever it was when they went 1-0 up, you're thinking, wow, this train is carrying on. These guys are going to be joint top in the supporters' shield, and it obviously didn't work out.
Yeah, and against New York side that weren't particularly pulling up any trees prior to that as well. So I mean, also just a note on the John Herdman Insigne chat. I'd rather talk to John Herdman than my wife as well. So it's fair enough.
I'm not going to repeat it because my wife is a part of this podcast. We spoke about Toronto. Just quick words on Vancouver and Montreal. Vancouver, big win at the weekend, 3-1 against Dallas. And, you know, with White up front and Gold doing his bit, they're really showing that they are getting to be quite a collective unit. So that's great to see. And Montreal, 4 away games. And look what they've done. They've won at Miami. I know, obviously, on Saturday they lost against Chicago, which we've got to talk about the goal in stoppage time in a bit. But they've had some impressive results as well. So it is a good time, isn't it, for the Canadian teams? They're really showing what they can do.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of focus unfairly on the US teams just because there's so many of them. You know, Canada do have a Premier League, but unfortunately, you know, we've got the three teams that were established, you know, and so far down the road before that was ever a thing. Like, it's nice to see all of them currently. It's very early days. It's nice to see all of them doing well. And, you know, getting strong rosters together. In the era that I started watching MLS, Toronto was certainly the dominant side. I have not seen a lot from Vancouver just in my years watching MLS. But certainly they feel like they're really on the up, Vancouver especially.
Yeah, so we'll see this weekend how the Canadian teams do. Of course, there is internationals on as well, so that will impact some of the squads. So we could get a whole host of these teams we've mentioned having good starts, having a bit of a poor weekend, but we'll wait and see. Just before we go, I'm going to bring up a news story I've seen in a moment, but we've got to talk about that Chicago goal. Kelvin Acosta, 96th minute, was it? Assist by the Wind. I love this goal. Pure MLS, pure entertainment, pure just farce. The worst thing about it is that as a result of this, people have been sharing when Tim Howard did it for Everton against Bolton the Premier
Bolton.
League. So I've had to put up with that. But ignoring that, what a game this was. Montreal were winning 3-1 going into the 80th minute. I think it's the first time a team's been trailing by two going into the 80th minute, who have then gone and won the game in MLS history. Chicago, there's something about Chicago where I'm thinking, okay, I don't think they're going to get anywhere near MLS Cup, but it just seems to be going in a slightly better direction than what we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, I agree. And to be fair to you, you said this, we were doing a little preview at the start. I say little, it was an hour and a half. We're doing a preview and you said about Chicago as well. And I think it's similar to what I was saying about the Canadian team. Sometimes you need to retrain your brain. You just haven't ever seen these sides do well. So it can be difficult to kind of imagine a world where Chicago are a bit of a force in MLS. But yeah, you're right. And the problem with this goal is that I knew exactly the first time I saw it, I knew what the issue was going to be. It gets reshared and the Euro snobs are like, oh, look at this. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. And I've noticed as well, Sky Sports News in the UK, who have kind of flirted with MLS, you know, every now and again, they kind of just show the Messi goals standard. But I knew it was coming. They were sort of, I had it on Sunday morning, and they were wrapping up talking about Indian Wells and the tennis in California. And then the next thing I heard the woman say, and they call Chicago the Windy City. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, it's so predictable. So we don't really need that. It's nice that these things happen for us who kind of know MLS has quality. But if we could kind of stop it from permeating the screens of European TVs, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, so if Chicago, and I do appreciate Chicago fans, you maybe, my comment a moment ago, you may be looking and going, yeah, but if we'd lost, we'd be where Orlando are. But it's, I think you maybe just seeing that goal and the dramatic scenes has got me thinking, oh, Chicago is, and Kuiper scored as well, so maybe there's something. But yeah, if you can score actual goals not assisted by the wind, you know, that'd be great. And it'd be great for us to share this league with our friends here in the UK and make them not think that it's a bit of a farce. But of course, it has happened in the Premier League. So if it happens in the Premier League, it can happen anywhere. Right, before we go, moving on and talking to the Premier League, Liverpool, I've seen this story this week. Apparently, the owners of Liverpool, who of course own the Boston Red Sox, I think they're the Red Sox, the baseball team, they are interested in buying an MLS team so that Liverpool can be like Manchester City and have teams all over the world. Obviously, I mean, New York City FC have won an MLS Cup, so it has, I guess it's kind of been a success for Man City, despite where they are at the moment, NYCFC and the City Group. Do you think if this goes well for Liverpool, could we just see most of MLS being bought up by rich European teams? Or is this, I don't know, is this pie in the sky?
As a supporter and a viewer of MLS, I think the obvious exciting thing with this is players moving freely between the clubs. Are the MLS clubs going to get a Liverpool player on loan? We haven't really seen Man City players going on loan, and they're certainly not sending players to Melbourne City in the A League. So is it then about the player's path from MLS to the UK? Probably. Zach Steffen didn't really work out. Jack Harrison for Manchester City kind of worked out, but then obviously was transferred. I think the teams that can afford to buy an MLS side are almost too elite. So the players aren't going to get a game for them. You kind of need, no disrespect, a Bolton do you know what I mean? Like, you'd take some MLS players at Bolton, right? Like,
of course.
You know, desperate they are. But you see what I mean? I think the clubs that can afford it, like a Liverpool aren't going to take even some of the best. You know, last season, for example, they weren't going to take Cade Cowell and put him in the Liverpool side. It's not going to happen. So it becomes a bit more about business. And that's when I'm switching off, because it's just the amount of money that we can't even ever comprehend, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if MLS became a feeder league for the Premier League, you know, Big Six or whatever, then yeah, that's a problem where it should be its own thing. And I mean, you know, the Americans buy a lot of the Premier League anyway, so they're rich enough to be able to buy the teams themselves and run it themselves. But yeah, if it got to that point, and I think, you know, I think we'd just see the competitiveness go. And you know, as great as it would be, and it would have interest maybe from this side of the pond for that, I think on the whole, when you're looking at the actual competitiveness, the league itself, I think it would just diminish it, because if you get a player who shows a little bit of promise, they're going to be signed to a Premier League team who will then loan them out to somewhere. It might not work. And then like Zach Steffen, they'll just end up back in MLS. So yeah, not for us, I'd say, if this happens. Just because I don't want it to happen, and to a lot of other teams as well. I hope it's, you've got NYCFC, and I hope that's it. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, no, agreed. It's kind of exciting, but then I think when you dig into it, it's like, nah, don't bother.
Nah. Right, well, that's it from us. Thanks very much for listening if you're on your podcast provider, but please, whilst you're there, we've got one wish, is that you leave us a review, leave us a rating. But Elliot, there's one rule and one rule only.
LA Galaxy style, 5 stars only, please. Thank you.
And if you watch it on YouTube, don't forget to click subscribe. We got past 1,500 subscribers, so thank you very much for everyone who does. But there are a whole load of people out there that don't subscribe. So if you don't and you're watching this, please subscribe. Please like the video and click the notification bell. And then you will be notified as soon as an MLS UK show episode drops. But to try that out next time, we will be back. Until then, I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.